This call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect now.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Drafting Team call on the 17th of June 2013. On the call today, we have Holly Weiss, Cheryl Longenor, Mikey O'Connor, Jill Pitzer, Chuck Gomes, Avi Doria, Christina Rosette, Jordan Buchanan, and Wolf Nolan. We have apologies from Tim Weaves and Jennifer Wolf. From staff, we have Marika Kernings, Barry Cobb, Ross Hoffman, and myself, Matthew Kerrigan. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Holly.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to... I've got myself out of the... How did I do that? Got myself out of the room. I'd like to welcome everybody, and first of all, to say I have very much appreciated what's gone on in terms of the chat and the conversations. I think it's probably a really, really good background for discussing where we're up to. I would like to repeat probably what I've said and what everybody else has said, which is we are not actually drafting what the working group will draft. What we are drafting is what is required by the working group charter template and what is up on the screen so that we can all work to this is we have to draft mission and scope. We have to have a set of objectives and goals. We have to have deliverables and time frames. And then just go through what we have to do. I think this morning, after we've probably gone through an overview of what we have to do, then we can start to discuss just the mission and scope, because that will be the guiding light for what else we have to do, which is things like objectives and goals. We do have to put in some kind of outcomes. If you look at the deliverables and time frames, we should try to work through a time frame, what we have to do, and what is a reasonable time frame in which we come up with a charter template so we can actually go out and ask for the membership of working group. So that said, I think we might start with Marika, do we want to do deliverables and time frames before we get into the actual discussion on mission and scope? Because I think that's where we should start in terms of our discussion.
Holly, Cheryl here. Just a point of order. We've got a proposed agenda up, which includes confirming you as chair.
Yes.
Probably a good idea to run through items 1 and 2 before you jump into 3.
Fine. You're right. Okay. For everybody, we have a roll call, and could we do that first in terms of who's on the call, and if anybody has anything to add to their statement of interest, could they identify it first?
This is Chuck, Holly. I think that the roll call was essentially already done, was it not?
Okay, I think so. Nobody else has added, as I see.
Greg Shatton. This is Greg Shatton. I'm joining on the phone, but not on the Adobe chat, because I'm standing in a Gary Quaylen Harrison in Harrisonburg, Virginia. So.
And for the audio record, neither Alan Greenberg or Eduardo Diaz would have been recorded.
I don't see the Alan's on the list. And Edward Ardo is also on the list. Okay.
Yes, I'm in here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Okay. Well, could I just say, look, if you're not on Adobe, could you just speak up, and I will recognize you, because otherwise I won't be able to see your hand. Okay. Does anybody have anything to add to their statement of interest?
This is Marika. If I can just note as well, we do keep an eye on the meeting view as well as the Adobe Connect So even those yep. that join late, we keep note of that and don't necessarily need to be called out. So we do keep an eye on that as well.
Okay, I do that as well. Okay, now, would anybody else like to put their hand up as chair? Or are you happy for me to proceed? I think the phrase is speak now or forever hold your peace.
Very happy with you proceeding.
Yeah. The opportunity was given for those who weren't at the last meeting to discuss the matter on list. No one did before. Guess what? You can't escape.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to add, what are you crazy to that list?
Thank you, Mikey. I appreciate your statement of support. Thank you.
Crazy attracts crazy, I think.
Yeah, thanks.
Uh-oh.
Listen, if you're not careful, I'll have them put up your mind map. That'll throw the meeting into chaos.
Some of us are used to those.
Okay. Now, review of the draft charter, which is number 3. This is really where we're up to. Just to remind everybody, because at least some of you may not have been following what's on the list, we have a job to do, and it's not to come up with the charter. It's actually to come up with a document that will produce a charter that people can then use as a basis for coming up with text. So we're not doing that. We're actually doing something called putting in a piece of paper that outlines what it is somebody else is going to do, though somebody else may, in fact, include us, but not necessarily. So I think with that in mind, I trust you have all read the charter, at least certainly on the list of discussion. Looks as if people have understood that. There are several headings under the charter.
Holly, this is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
If I can jump in.
Yes.
I don't know if I understood you correctly or not, but I thought you said it's not our task to develop a charter.
Sorry, it's not to develop the actual outcome. It's our.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's better. Okay, yeah, because it is our task to develop a charter.
It is exactly that, Chuck. I was just typing. It is only 0510 here in AU.
Yes.
Holly's lack of coffee might be showing.
Well, there's no way I'm going to get up and make a cup of coffee.
Cheryl, this is Chuck. I'll let Holly off the hook, but not you. No excuses.
Oh, well, that's because I'm on my second coffee diet.
Right. Look, we've got – what we have to do is produce a piece of paper or many pieces of paper on
a
which
charter.
People are going to either join or not a working group to develop the charter. That's all we're going to do. But if you actually look at what's
Sorry,
on...
Holly.
Yeah.
I think you need to back up just a tiny bit. We are developing the charter
yep.
that will instigate the work group that will look to the issues. So what
okay.
we do is framework. What they do is discussion, deliberation, and outcome.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I agree with you.
Okay.
You agree with me. Yeah. Okay, let's proceed. We have a number of tasks. If you just, I'm going through on my screen, and I invite the rest of you to do the same. What we have got in terms of the actual charter template, which guides the work that we have to achieve, there will be a bunch of things we have to do. There'll be a working group name, which is probably going to be easy. There's a working group identification. The fun bits start in section 2, which is probably what we're going to spend most of our time on, which is defining the mission, purpose, and deliverables of the charter document. Now, the mission scope is probably going to be the guiding principle, which is going to lead to the other things we have to do, which is the objectives and goals, and then deliverables and time frames. It's probably going to be easier to look at section 3 in the template, which is the membership criteria, the group formation, and the work group roles. Rules of engagement, I think, is something that...
Holly, Marika's hand is up.
Marika, away you go, yes.
Yes, Holly, I was waiting for you to finish, but I was just wondering whether it would be helpful for me to take you through those sections I've filled in and just give you a little bit of the background of what is in there currently, and that may help then as well introduce some of the comments that were received on the mailing list. I don't know if that's helpful.
If you'd like to, go ahead.
So basically, indeed, as Holly said, the section one, I think some of the information there still will need to be filled in because some of it is historical data, like when the charter is approved, the chair of the working group, and some of the links that need to be included. So what I've done for section two, the mission, purpose, and deliverables. So the mission and scope, as we discussed in the last call, this would be just a starting draft. And basically, I've just lifted the language from the call for volunteers in here. Because the call for volunteers, I think, identifies at least the four questions that were reviewed by the GNSO Council, because the call for volunteers was also shared with them on the mailing list as four items that, at a minimum, I think the GNSO Council would like to see input on from this working group. For the objectives and goals, I've looked there at some of the other charters that we've developed and partly looking as well what we currently do under the existing PDP rules, but of course there's not a PDP working group, but following the same kind of model where you do have an initial report, and it could be, I've called it an initial recommendations report, basically to specify that this doesn't necessarily need to be a full-blown report as we do for PDPs, and maybe a set of 10 or 20 recommendations that are put up for public comment and input, and then the final recommendations report that would be submitted to the GNSO Council. Again, following a little bit the model of a PDP where there's at least an initial report that's vetted and input is received, and then that input is reviewed by the working group before a final report is produced. And again, outlining that the process to be followed would be the GNSO working group guidelines. And I've also emphasized here that these recommendations may include proposed changes to the GNSO operating procedures and or relevant sections of the ICANN bylaws. I think looking at at least the four questions that are currently there, many of these are currently either covered by some of those documents, or I think, for example, looking at the GNSO policy guidance process, should there be a process that's adopted that would need to be covered somewhere. So I think just to clarify what some of the expected outcomes may be of the working group. For the deliverables and timeframes, again, I followed there what is currently in some of the other charters, also looking a little bit at the process and steps to take in the form of PDP working group. So basically requiring the working group to reach out at an early stage to different GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well as other ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees to get their input on the charter questions, and make sure that factors into the working group deliberations at an early stage. Again, a requirement to produce this initial recommendation report for community input and produce a final report that would address the comments received and that is then submitted to the GNSO Council. So again, this is a kind of a minimum. Of course, I think as within the different frameworks where we currently have, working group is free to develop additional products or questions or forms that they think are necessary to get those minimum deliverables. I think for the time...
Marika, can I interview you? Now, my question with that one, at the Beijing meeting, it was already going out to constituents saying, what do you think? Now, do you consider that that has already happened or that that should happen again?
This is Marika. I think the input we received at that time was on the staff discussion paper and for the forum or the workshop we had. And I think here we're probably looking at more specific questions. So from my perspective, I think we would need to go out and, groups may just reiterate what they have submitted before if they feel that that covers our questions here as well. But I think it would be helpful to put those specific questions out as well for stakeholder group constituency as well as SOAC input to really make sure that all the necessary relevant input is available to the working group at an early stage of the discussions and deliberations.
Thank you. Thank you. Just wanted to confirm that. I thought that would be correct. Now, Alan's got his hand up. Alan, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, just for clarity, we're talking about going out for comment on the substantive issues, not on the charter.
Yes, that's correct. This is talking about what we expect the working group to do as part of their deliberations.
That's correct. Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I almost thought I heard that we were going to go out for comment on the draft charter. And
no.
I didn't think that's normal practice.
No. Alex,
okay. Thank you.
Sorry. What I was asking is at the Beijing meeting, there was an opportunity for comment on the topic itself before this group was formed, and I was wondering the extent to which the comments that have already been received and they're on the website did or did not meet the requirements in the template, which is that we go out for comment to form the charter, not as part of developing what the working group is going to be doing and what we're not going to be doing. Sorry, the language wasn't clear. Cheryl, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Holly. Cheryl, for the record. To be honest, I couldn't give a shit. Was that clear enough? Let me think. Yes, I think it was. If any member of the chartered development team, drafting team, want to take into account those inputs, that's fine, but it doesn't drive this. Our job's really clear and really narrow. I would have thought that the Beijing input, if it's worth anything, is worthy of the working group yet to be formed to look at, rather more than us. That said, any one of us may wish to be influenced by it, but as a command to the whole, I go back to the I couldn't give a shit line.
Thank you, Cheryl. Ellen, your hand is still up. Do you still want to comment?
It's an old hand. I'm sorry.
Oh, it shouldn't be that.
That's a very young hand, Ellen. Marika, go ahead.
I guess I'd just to continue what I've added here as well on the time frame, basically as well following some of the other charters that we've recently adopted. Because as per the genus of working group guidelines, working groups are responsible for developing a work plan at an early stage of a process that outlines the different steps and expected timing, which you then submit to the genus of council. So it's basically putting part of the remit for that on the working group to really define and scope their work and determine how much time they think they need to achieve those different milestones. I think then for section three, those are actually relatively standard items and just assuming that this working group will operate under the GNSO working group guidelines. So for the membership criteria, typically all GNSO working groups are open to anyone interested to participate. The only requirement is that people submit a statement of interest, and we've added here the information that I think also comes up in other charters that if new members join after certain parts of the work have been completed, they do have a requirement or the expectation that they review previous documents and a meeting transcript, so there's not a situation of reopening issues that were previously closed unless, of course, new information is brought forward. On the group formation, dependencies, and dissolution, again, this is a standard language as well that comes in other working group charters, standard GNSO working group, following GNSO working group guidelines, how to call for volunteers should be circulated and to which groups. Working group roles, functions, and duties. Again, I think this is standard language that I've imported from other charters. Again, referring to the outline of those roles and functions as per the genus of working group guidelines. And then again, a statement of interest, just clarifying that there's a requirement to submit those for those that want to participate in the working group. And I think there's one other item there further down that's called status reporting. And again, I think I took their language from previous charters. That notes that this is based upon the request of the GNSO Council and why the GNSO Council liaison may play a role or have a function as well, so it's to be defined there. And then basically on the closure and working group self-assessment, the working group will close upon the delivery of the final report unless assigned additional tasks or follow-up by the GNSO Council. And again, that's language I've imported from other charters that have been recently adopted. So I think that basically covers what I've inserted here. I know there were some specific comments from Chuck and Jordan or suggestions, so I don't know if it's helpful to pull those up or have the two documents side by side. So I think Chuck and Jordan can maybe cover their comments based on, I think, its initial draft. I don't know what's the most helpful way to look at that.
May I just have a question? The way that you've gone through this, which is very helpful, thank you. We keep talking about a working group. Now, are we talking about us as a working group that will produce another working group? Because our job is not to produce the charter.
Well,
sorry,
it's Marika.
To produce the document. It's just the language. You've got two working. You've got a working group and a working group.
Can I jump in, Holly? This is Chuck.
Yep.
It is our job to produce a charter.
Yeah, but it's sort of we're not going to go any further than that. So
we are not. This is Chuck again. We are not a working group as defined in the PDP. Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
We are a drafting team. More specifically, a charter drafting team.
Do you know, it would be really useful if we can use that language, because if you read through this, you talk about working group, and I'm going,
need to understand, our charter is going to talk about the working group.
I know. And I'm just saying.
This is Marika. Maybe to clarify the process, because basically, indeed, what this drafting team has to do is to complete this charter template, which is then submitted to the GNSO Council for approval.
Yep.
Once that happens, this drafting team basically dissolves, and a new call for volunteers is sent to create the working group. And, of course, anyone in this group is free to join that effort as well, and I really hope that most of you will, as you've been closely involved in scoping the work and identifying the issues. So I think those are the steps, and what is on the screen is really the working group charter that this drafting team is developing and that will be put forward to the GNSO Council for approval.
Yeah. Thank you, Marika. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call us a drafting team because I really like Chuck's term, and that way what we're talking about, us as a drafting team doing a charter for a working group, and then there's no confusion in the language.
It wasn't, Holly. We've always been a drafting team. We've never been a working group. And we
good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just clarifying in my own mind that's what we're doing.
Okay, fine. Well, call me sometime, not during these calls then, and I'll help you with that.
All right. I know. I'm thinking in the right space. Thank you. Now, Marika, do we have to come up with our own set of timelines and deliverables?
Marika, that's really up to the drafting team, but I think that's something that probably the GNSO Council will review very closely. I mean, from my personal perspective and having seen working groups work, I think it's often more effective. You know, the GNSO Council can set a deadline or a preferred delivery time of the work, but often it really depends on the number of volunteers that join, the chair, you know, at the outside set the milestones, how much time they want to spend on scoping or researching some of the issues, if they want to, you know, do public comment or so. I think at least from experience, it seems that often at the start of the working group, they first have an assessment of what they think it takes to answer the charter questions, and on that basis, they develop their own work plan. But of course, nothing prevents either the drafting team or the council to suggest expected timelines by which work is delivered, but it just doesn't necessarily mean that the work gets delivered by that time.
So it seems to me the first task of this drafting team is to come up with our own work plan as to when we expect we will be able to produce a charter, right? And what we've got, if we're looking at deliverables and timeframes, which I'm assuming in the text that you've put in, Marika, the working group, I'd call this a drafting team instead, is expected to follow the steps for its deliverables, which is we should be reaching out to the GNSO Council, stakeholder groups, as well as other ACs and SOs. So that has to be factored into the timeline. We also have to come up with some
Holly, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think you're confusing the drafting team and the charter, because this drafting team doesn't need to go out to stakeholder groups and constituencies input.
Okay, well, that,
and I think on the last call we did discuss that our timeline, or at least our hope would be that we could actually deliver this by the 7th of July in time for the council meeting in German. So what is on the treaty charter is really for the working group, that's the next effort. The drafting team, you can develop a work plan if you want to, but it definitely doesn't need to meet those requirements that are up here in this document. And as I said, I think, you know, our task is really to, you know, complete this template and submit it to the GNSO Council. I think those are basically the deliverables for this group.
Preferably before Durban.
That's fine. That's exactly what I was asking. And when I said, I think guiding us rather than guiding the charter working group, which is different, we can be guided by what's in this template. We can be guided, if we want to be, by the framework document that's been circulated, by the summary of comments, by the comments themselves, and by what everybody else has been saying on the line. And we don't need to go further for our work. Would that be correct?
Yep.
Thank you. Good. Now, so we've basically...
Ollie, this is Chuck. One of the things that's a challenge for the chair is to keep their eye on the raised hands and the chat. Chat's a little bit more challenging, but Alan's had us have that for quite a while.
Alan, now that I'm sorted, go ahead.
Okay.
Or is that the old hand?
It was a new hand. It may be old at this point. I think I understand what your concern was, and you have been looking for a charter for this group.
Yes, thank you.
This group does not have an explicit written charter and will not. Our implicit charter is to write the charter for the is to draft the charter for the work group for GNSO Council approval. We operate under the same sort of rules, but they're not written anywhere, you know. We don't have a formal written charter, nor are we going to write one for ourselves.
That's right.
Our implicit structure is, our implicit charter is to write, draft the charter for the working group.
Thank you, Alan. That's why I'm going to call us a, I'm going to call us a drafting team. I'm just going to not use
the
term so that we don't get confused with language.
And we don't have a written charter. Everyone knows what we're here for.
Yep.
We're here to do the to create the charter for the working group.
Right. Okay. Now let's get down to what has to be, and our implicit time frame, as I understand it, is Durban, which is not that far away.
It needs to be in the paperwork for GNSO Council consideration at Durban, so it's pre-Durban. Unless
and
I'm wrong, Marika.
Chuck, you've got your hand up.
Thank you, Holly. Jordan and I actually suggested a timeline for the group that would allow for council consideration of the charter and possible approval in Durban, because remember we talked last week about the fact that there's not going to be a council meeting in August, so if that doesn't happen in the meeting in Durban, it's not going to happen until September, which would really be unfortunate. Now, so I just refer people to that particular timeline. It's aggressive, but I think it's doable. What I originally raised my hand for, though, was to point out that in what Marika went through in terms of the template, much of that work, with the exception of Section 2, is all done. Now, we may want to modify some things, like, for example, some background in the Section 1 and so forth, but the formation, staffing, and organization are really all basic procedures for the GNSO, Section 3. The rules of engagement are procedures and for the GNSO, so Section 4 is pretty well covered. So our focus is really on Section 2, which is the mission, purpose, and deliverables. And what I said in chat, not realizing that I was just chatting with Avery at the time, I think that's correct with that, is that we might want to talk a little bit about the outline of Section 2 before we start getting into specific things like mission. And the reason I am, and Jordan and I in our comments talked a little, had some little parenthetical notes along this line. we might be able to break it out a little more finely than what it's broken out in Section 2 right now, and that'll help us fit things into the outline as we move forward and get into specifics. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you for lowering your hand so I'm... Oh, wait a minute.
This is Marika Holly. Would you like me to pull up the language that was submitted by Chuck and Jordan so people can have a look at that and discuss?
For those who haven't read it, that's fine. Sure.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Thanks, Marika. That was Cheryl saying thank you, by the way. Because even though she's read it, she'd like to see it again.
And this is Marika, and maybe it would be helpful actually for Chuck and Jordan maybe to take us through it so we'll give people an opportunity to ask questions or clarification.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be good. Chuck, do you mind doing that, Chuck?
That will be fine. Let's go down to – keep in mind, that's not our input was not intended to be a complete charter. It was just input for the various sections. Let me take you down since I think you wanted to talk about time frames, okay? So if you scroll down to the end of our document where it says time frames, no less, you'll see that what we suggested was submission of a draft charter and motion to the council by Wednesday the 3rd of July, and that complies, and correct me if I'm wrong, Marika, okay, I think that complies with the council requirements for consideration of a motion.
For the 7th.
What's that?
Yeah, this is Marika. That's correct.
I'm on.
This is Marika. That's correct. I think the 7th of July is according to the recently approved rules, the new deadline. But I think we did discuss last weekend that, you know, 4th of July is a holiday in the U.S., so it may be difficult for people to look at it. So I'm assuming that's where the 3rd of July comes from. But I think from a council perspective as well, the sooner the better, as people are traveling, it will give them more time to review before actually getting on the plane.
And this is Chuck again, and Marika's exactly right. We added some, I think it's 10 calendar days in advance of the where the motion is acted on, but we added some on because of the U.S. holiday that's in there and to give us a little fudge factor as well. And then we suggested, as you can see, if you're looking at that, the first consideration of the charter approval by the council then would be at the Durban Council meeting on the 17th. That would allow, and this is all adjustable, but the formation of a working group possibly by mid-August, understanding that August is a tough month. First working group meeting then could possibly happen in September sometime. I don't need to be any more specific than that. Obviously, ultimately, more time frames will need to be added, but I think it works out best for the working group itself to develop their schedule and milestones and so forth rather than the charter team, charter drafting team trying to do that for them. So I let me stop there and open it up for discussion or questions.
Yep. First,
Cheryl here, I'm happy with that time frame. I think if we can manage 3 July, that's great. We've got to get this done by Durban. I can't see any other way other than being very non-productive.
Nobody has their hand up that I can see, so I'm assuming that people are comfortable with that time frame. So, Chuck, thank you for that. Should we go back and look at the rest of your input then? Because if we all pretty well accept that time frame, then let's go through what we have to do between now and 3 July, how many meetings we've got, and have a little our own mental work plan that will get us to 3 July with something, with a document that can go to the GNFO. So do you want to walk us through the rest of that document, starting at the top this time?
This is Chuck, and I think before, I don't think we're quite ready to look at the content that we suggested.
Okay.
I think first, one of the things, I suggested this in the chat, with my personal chat with Aubrey, that if you look at the section on mission and scope, I think mission and purpose or scope is fine as a category, but when you start getting into and objectives and goals, I think is a good section. Okay, then it starts combining some things. Like, for example, what we did is we had a category called recommended working group tasks. Nothing magical about that. We broke down the work of the group into recommended working group tasks and even included some questions that need to be answered in that section, and then broke out deliverables separately, and that'll eventually tie into time frames, but I don't think we're going to be able to set time frames for the deliverables. The working group will need to do that once they get started and move through it. So when I was talking about outlining the section two there, breaking it down a little bit further, and people may have other ideas, we were suggesting that we break out working group tasks. That can include questions that should be asked and attempted to answer, produce answers and so forth, and then break out deliverables separately. Don't have to do it that way. As we were working on this, we found that it was might be helpful for us to break them out a little bit more finely than it is in the template. And I'll stop there.
Thank you, Chuck. Look, I think Mikey's template and his PowerPoints would support the fact that there's probably a lot of work that can be put into objectives and goals of what we want the working group, what we as a drafting team want the working group to do. I think when I commented on the mission scope, the only reason I said or I made the comment maybe we go a little bit further is that if you look at the objectives and goals and the way people have been talking, possibly we need to have a mission statement that does cover the sort of objectives and goals that you've got and that Mikey's got. But I think working through the time frame, which is a very short time frame, I think what that gives us, two meetings max? I mean, if you look at it, we're at June 17. So that's one, two, we only have a couple of meetings.
Yep.
So, moving right along. Are people happy to proceed along? And Mikey, have you seen how what the stuff that you have developed fits into what Chuck has to say? I haven't had a chance to actually mentally do that myself.
This is Mikey. Can people hear me okay? I'm having a bad internet day, so.
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Okay. Marika didn't. Others lived through a bad call this morning. Anyway, my hand was up because I was going to chime in right behind Chuck and say that I really like the idea of having a separate section for deliverables. And what I've been doing in the last day is sort of building one of those outlines that I built for other things. And I thought what I would do is pay sort of close attention today to what people say and sort of chop together the very first rough outline of the work and throw it out to the list pretty fast, like, you know, either late today or tomorrow morning, so that we've got at least a first hack at the outline that we need. And then I think that with that, we'll probably be in pretty good shape to sort of edit it and get down to a final spot. So I'm pretty comfortable with where things are going. Rather than go through all of it now, I think it's probably easier to just publish it to the list.
Okay. And Marika in the chat is volunteering to produce an updated draft based on comments provided by Chuck and Jordan and additional comments made today. Is that, how is that going to fit in with I was going to say, Marika, could you wait until Mikey comes up with his comments and fit them in as well?
This is Marika. This is actually just a suggestion that, you know, Mikey said to try to get a quick turnaround to see, to integrate the comments that Jordan and Chuck provided, and that may, because I think it's easy as well, like a lot of people have made suggestions, there hasn't been discussion, but the most, I think, productive or effective, at least from staff perspective, is if people would provide concrete suggestions on how to add or edit or make changes to the draft charter, because that may make it easier as well for the working group to really focus their discussions on the language that's in the charter instead of maybe diverging into some of the broader debates that are very interesting but maybe more relevant for the next effort that comes after this. So my suggestion was more that as a next step, I'm happy to take what Chuck and Jordan produced and any further concrete suggestions that are maybe made on today's call on what needs to be added to the chart and put that out as a kind of next draft so the working group can take that apart ahead of the next meeting. The drafting team, sorry, don't want to confuse things.
Yes, please, we're not a working group, we're a drafting team. Okay. Mikey, if you're going to produce, which would be great, putting all the stuff together, how is that going to work with Marika's document? I'm just thinking what Chuck has produced is a really useful outline of how to go, which is we've got some text on mission and scope, and we've had some discussion in the list on that. We've got then the objectives and goals, breaking it down into the task, which is that can give rise to the actual charter working group finalizing their own tasks and timelines. But then going down to the deliverables.
This is Mikey. What I was going to—I basically listed everything that Chuck and Jordan came up with and stuffed it into the outline. So,
yeah, it looks good.
And so, you know, I think that Chuck is right. That the key discussion for today is probably going to be mission and scope. If we can sort of hammer the rough edges out of that, or at least get some pretty solid discussion to sort of tie up this discussion that we've been having on the list today. And I think the rest of this stuff pretty much flows right out of that, and I don't think it'll be tough after that.
Okay. And are you happy with the way that, are we all happy with the way that Chuck and Jordan's first go breaks things down into the categories that they have?
Are you going to line up of hands?
Alan, Chuck, it's your document. You start.
Thanks. What I was going to suggest to help Marika in her task of putting a first, draft version of a more complete charter. And by the way, I agree with Mikey that if at all possible, to talk a little bit more about mission today would be very good, and that would help Marika in her task. But if we have time on this call, to make sure there's agreement from most of us, if not all of us, on what Jordan and I submitted. Now, the quickest way to do that, just see if anybody objects to any of them. If people want me to go through them one by one, I can. I'm flexible on that. With regard to mission, I want to point out again, as I did on the list, we didn't provide a mission. We provided two assumptions that we think underlie the mission. So please don't look at that as the mission. It's two assumptions that we think are important to agree on before we define a mission. So please understand that. I will follow whatever direction you provide, Holly, and the group wants with regard to whether we need to go through these one by one. Or if people have reviewed them and just want to ask questions or say point out ones where they would modify or change, that would be even quicker. So I'll let you take it from there.
Thank you, Chuck. And I think probably we'll do the latter, which is let's assume everybody's read what you've done and will comment. But in the meantime, we've got Eduardo and then Alan. Eduardo, go ahead. Thanks.
Yes, it's Eduardo Diaz. I agree that, you know, we should, at least in this room, this call, we should look at the mission goals and see assumptions that Chuck put in.
Eduardo, Cheryl here. Could you speak close to the microphone, please? Hard to hear you.
Yeah,
Let me see where my microphone is. Can you hear me better?
Yes. That's better. Thank you.
My microphone. Anyhow, I was going to say that, you know, at least during this call, we should talk about the key assumptions and the mission scope, like just Chuck said. And also, there was some discussion in the offline about if we're going to ask the working group to define what policy is and versus what implementation is. And I don't know if that will be something that we can put in the charges.
Eduardo, I think that will be one of the things that we will ask the working group to look at, and they may or may not do something. But I think let's get through the mission and scope, and that discussion should flesh out your question. Alan, you've got a cross against that, but you've also got your hand up, so you've got the floor.
Just for the record, the cross for was you said the working group should decide for themselves whether they define policy and implementation and what the dividing line is between. I would think that's one of the core things that we decide for them. And I would fight on that one. The reason I raised my hand is before we get to mission and scope, I'd like to talk about the title line. The title line is saying a policy and implementation PDP. Working group. At what point did I miss where this became a PDP?
That's a very good question. Marika?
This is Marika. As I know, it's indeed not intended to be a PDP working group, but I'm sure Chuck or Jordan can clarify.
Wishful thinking, Chuck?
This is Chuck. That was probably my mistake, although any working group could result in policy recommendations, and we're going to follow the PDP working group procedures. Even a PDP working group doesn't have to produce consensus policy recommendations, so I don't have any problem with deleting the PDP in that. Bottom line, guys, the only working group guidelines we have are the PDP working group guidelines.
I'm not, Chuck, just for what I was asking, I have no problem with using the PDP working group guidelines, which I believe are actually just working group guidelines, which are used by the PDP. I would not want to see us tied to all the rest of the process that a PDP is required to do, including supermajority voting and things like that, if it comes down to that. Since we weren't chartered as a PDP, we were not, an issue report was not created. We haven't gone through all the previous steps that a PDP required, so I don't think we can arbitrarily start calling this a PDP, nor would we want to, from my personal opinion.
Good point, Alan. Thanks. This is Chuck.
And this is Marika, maybe to clarify, because what we have is GNSO working group guidelines that can apply to any working group, not only PDP working groups. We do have a PDP manual, which is specifically for PDP working groups. And I think, you know, again, Alan already made a point that this is not a PDP, as there was no request for an issue report or a preliminary issue report or final issue report. So I think the whole idea is that this working group may choose to follow some of the steps, which I think are well recognized practices within the ICANN community of how we do things, you know, reaching out at an early stage, having an initial report for public comment, but they don't need to be necessarily tied to some of the other requirements that are within the PDP manual that need to be followed by PDP working groups in their specific process. So,
okay. Avery, you've had your hand up for a bit of a time. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Avery speaking. I wanted to check, though. Are we actually talking about the mission and scope content yet? Because that's when I put my hand up. But if we're not there yet, I'll back off.
We were almost there. We got sidelined. I think we're back there.
Okay, I'll back off.
Okay, I think the rest we've got probably about a half an hour left, and it's probably time to say, well, we need to look at the mission and scope, which is our first task, and if we can actually knock that off today or get well into the discussion, then I think we can. We've made a really good head start on getting a document. So I think the place to start, Chuck, if you want, you just repeat what you said briefly, which is about the key assumptions, and then Mikey, you've had stuff to say on the mission and scope, and then we'll open it up for discussion. So first, if we could start with Chuck and Mikey, and then we'll have a discussion and hopefully be able to come to some kind of agreement by the end of the half hour that we've got. So go ahead, Chuck. Thanks.
Thanks, Holly. This is Chuck again, and Jordan, please feel free to jump in if I misstate anything. So two assumptions that Jordan and I thought were accurate assumptions, underlying the mission is, first of all, that the processes for policy development are pretty well defined. And implementation processes are much less well defined, and hence that's where we believe most of the work of the working group will focus. So my question, I guess, to everybody on the call is there any disagreement with those two assumptions? And disagreement is welcome, so please feel free.
Okay, Mikey, you also had a lot to say.
Hang on. Holly, Cheryl here. I think Avery popped her hand up in response to Mikey's question on the key assumptions. So I'd like to hear what she wants to say on that.
Avery, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it was a place marker. I think there's an assumption missing, or rather there's an assumption being made that's not being brought out. I think we're assuming, and you especially see it when you get to three below in the objectives and goals, that there's a strict...
We've lost it.
...we see an implementation process, and we're not looking at what is the relationship between those two processes. And I think we have to deal with the fact that we don't understand the relationship between those yet. And so I have a problem in three later... When we talk about transition, I don't see this as an issue of transition. I think we have to understand how the two play together. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan has his hand up, then Jordan.
I support strongly what Avery just said. I think the demarcation, and if indeed there is a demarcation, and how important that demarcation is, is very much a responsibility. Remember, the board asked for community input, and in this case, GNSO input, on policy and implementation. So that raises a whole bunch of issues that I think cannot be sidestepped. And I won't go into the political things that are going on in background in response to the recent board governance committee decision on the reconsideration request, but it raises a whole bunch of issues that I think fall splat under the remit of this working group. The working group, which will come after us.
Thank you. No, don't say this working group, please. Jordan, you're next. Thank you.
Thanks. So Aubrey, I think it certainly is an intent. I think the line between policy and implementation is inherently fuzzy. I do think there are ways that we can define it that are workable, at least in terms of creating a framework in order to allow us to sort of know what procedure we should be applying at any given time. But I think, you know, that creates definitions of types of policy and types of implementation. Whereas I think where we tend to get sort of bound up trying to find some dividing line between, you know, that is policy with a little p, that's implementation with a little I, as opposed to some specific instantiation of it. I think what we can hope for is a set of procedures that allows us to work through the sort of from a notion, you know, existing in someone's head to through the GNSO process of adopting a policy and through ultimately that policy also being instantiated in contracts or whatever other form it needs to take in order to be implemented. I think we can have a set of procedures along the way that largely obviate the need to get the exact distinction right between where one thing ends and the other begins. And I think, you know, when you look at the assumptions, yeah, we use the word transition. And that's intended to be the transition between sort of like phases of work, as opposed to necessarily agreeing that there's a distinct, you know, that we stop, suddenly we stop talking about things that could be construed as policy and it's, you know, purely construed as implementation. And I think most importantly, there is another assumption here maybe that we should make more explicit, which is that just because something is implementation doesn't mean that the multi-stakeholder process stops. And I think, you know, in some cases, people are sort of saying, oh, it's implementation, therefore it's purely a staff issue at that point. And I think I think if we could start with the assumption that's not correct, then I think this debate becomes a lot less fraught, and then we're just trying to define a procedure to make sure we get the proper multi-stakeholder input during the implementation phase as well.
Jordan, thank you. I think that's really useful. Alan, is that a new or an old hand? I mean, it's a beautiful hand.
It's a new hand.
Welcome. Go ahead.
It's a new old hand. All my hands are old these days.
Yeah, well, both of us have new hands.
I think Jordan is right on. Many of us have spent the last 5 years, or good part of the last 5 years, developing what has become the applicant guidebook for the new GTLD process. That was all implementation, and I don't think anyone can say there was no community involvement in it. Whether we have a formal bylaws rule saying the community is involved in implementation, we are. We have been. And I think part of what this group needs to do is demonstrate that and make sure that we don't forget it in the future, because it almost doesn't matter where the line is. The line between policy and implementation is where the policy group stopped. If the new GTLD PDP had decided to define things in far more detail than it did, a lot of things that became implementation would have been policy. They just chose to stop there. So I don't believe that we're going to find there is a hard line that you can, after the fact, look at something and say, should it, you know, is it a God-given policy or God-given implementation? If it wasn't done in policy, it's done in implementation, and it's a movable line depending on where the various groups decide to start and stop. Thank you.
Cheryl's got a nice green tick. I think that's fine. Could I summarize by saying... Oh, somebody's trying to talk.
Eduardo?
Eduardo.
Yes, but finish for you. I think somebody else was talking.
Now, go ahead. Go ahead, Eduardo.
Oh, I was going to go back to what Alan said, that there is a very fine line between policy and implementation, that it will be hard to find at some point in time. So I think that, you know, one of the things that this group that we're trying to put a charter for to do is, you know, let's say there's a policy out there and there's an implementation and there's a point in implementation that the community thinks is policy. Really, this group should look at ways of capturing that and have a process in place to go back to whoever, in this case the GNSO. And I think that's part of what the charter for this working group should do as part of the charter. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Is the issue not so much what is policy, but what kind of process is followed, what kind of input is followed at rather than labels? Because it seems to me what we're talking about, and I'm quite happy to get comments back on this, what we're talking about is we now have just one policy process called, you know, the PDP. There may be other processes that can be developed or have been developed informally that don't have that formal status. And what Jordan was saying is that perhaps what is more important is, at what point do we stop talking to each other? At what point do we have to start talking to each other? So is this a definitional problem, or is it really fleshing out some of the process problems or some of the processes that aren't in place? And is the mission, therefore, based on a multi-stakeholder assumption of process that is not just PDP? Is that the kind of what sits on top of what Chuck and Jordan and Mikey were talking about?
Holly, Cheryl here. My computer's frozen. Put me in the queue, please.
You're in the queue now. Thank you. Nobody else
Marika,
put their hand up.
And Marika's hand is up.
Okay. Marika.
Marika.
My space for seeing hands up is really small. I don't know. I'm going to have to reconfigure this.
And I think Greg is not on the Adobe Connect, so it's probably why you don't see his hand, but he's on the call. So basically, the point I wanted to make is we're talking a lot about, you know, where implementation fits in, and something I pointed out already in the mailing list as well, as part of the revised PDP, a number of improvements were made to the PDP to partly address those kind of discussions of, you know, how much detail should be included, at what point, you know, because does something become within the remit of staff, or what points do we need to check back. And as such, I think there is specific guidance within the PDP that talks about implementation guidance that would be helpful if provided by the working group, if they would like to do so. And also this concept of allowing or encouraging the creation of implementation review teams that are basically intended as a kind of soundboard for staff to come back and check if they have any questions or clarifications with regard to the policy recommendations, or as well as a test basically saying, look, this is what we think should be the implementation plan based on the guidance you have given us in your final report and recommendations, and is this what you think, you know, did we understand you correctly, and then this is ready to go forward. I think what is missing, and I think that came out as well in you know, the questions that were in the call for volunteers and what we've discussed in some of the previous discussions in Beijing and other discussions, is that there's very little guidance at the moment around how those implementation review teams should function. So at what time they, for example, those groups need to go back to the council if indeed they identify that an issue is really policy and not just implementation. Or, you know, at what kind of points further checks need to be had, for example, with the broader community. Because, again, this implementation review team, the idea behind there is that it's consisting of members that were involved in initial development of the policy recommendation so that staff can actually verify, like, is this indeed the intention of your policy recommendation, the kind of sound body. But there's no current mechanism around it, like at what point do you need to go back to the broader community or put, you know, implementation plans out for public input. So I think that's why we're really looking at further guidance. But I just want to know that some of that basis already exists there. I think it's really building that up and having indeed more transparent and predictable processes in place when policy recommendations move from, you know, adoption to implementation phase. And just one question I had as well, and obviously telling me that I need to speak more slowly, I'll try that, is the question whether some of the key assumptions, and, you know, starting off with those that were suggested by Chuck and Jordan, if they should serve as the introduction to the section on the mission and scope, basically setting the scene. And what I've done on the right-hand side is I've posted there what is currently in the draft that staff developed and was circulated last week, whether indeed as the introduction to that, we should start by introducing those key assumptions and just putting that language there. I think Avery had some additional suggestions and start building up that section from there.
There are a few interesting things on the chat. I think, first of all, two of Chuck's comments, the primary mission of the drafting team is to develop a charter, yes. The primary mission of the working group is to respond to the board's request, yes. So that's a nice clarification. Thank you. Avery, and I'm looking at what was suggested on the right-hand side of people's screens, which is what's in the current language, which I think maybe if Chuck, if you, or maybe we can start on, is this what we're going to do? A set of principles that underpin any GSO policy and implementation related discussions. So that avoids the fact that we're trying to distinguish between the two and pick up Jordan's point that we're talking about principles that underpin any discussion, some recommendations on a process for policy guidance, and that would pick up what the difficulty of defining what policy is, and it probably would pick up at least when we would use a PDP or not, and if we don't use a PDP, what further things do we do? The third is a framework for implementation-related discussions. Now, the framework would allow for Jordan's comment, which is just because it says implementation doesn't mean you don't continue to discuss. And that would be picked up by the fourth point. So, Avery, you were suggesting that there's missing things in there. Oh, here we go. Okay, in the chat, my two assumptions.
Yeah, this is Marika Holly. Just to clarify, what is on the right-hand side is actually what was in the draft that I produced and that basically takes longer language from the call for volunteers. What Chuck and Jordan produced is what is up on the screen. So the question was whether we need to introduce those key assumptions together with that part or whether, you know, we're going to completely rewrite it, which is another option, of course.
Okay. Avery, I agree with you. We do not understand the relationship between the practice and implementation, but need to establish a framework that takes the relationship between the two. The language always really comes from the call for volunteers, right? So what, to me, what we've got to do in the next 20 minutes is start off with mission and scope. And since what Chuck has said, which really is the key assumptions are what underpin it, what language, I mean, I'm looking at the language that was used in the draft. Is that inappropriate or not? Does that cover what we've been saying on the list or not? And if not, what's missing?
There are many hands up.
I know, and I'm just going to go. It starts with Chuck, Jordan, and Mikey for a start. So, Chuck, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, and I'll try and be brief. But I think we're getting a good outline and even contents of the mission, okay? I do believe that the basic mission is to respond to the board and obviously the council in responding to the board. And that needs to be cited and referenced, okay?
Yep.
Then we have some assumptions, and we're up to four now. I'm fine with Aubrey's being added to what Jordan and I put, if everybody else is. And then I think that what Marika outlined in the under mission and scope follows right on from that. It gets a little more detail, and I'll stop there.
Thank you, Jordan. Go ahead.
Thanks. I have one brief thing to say, but actually I think Greg wanted to talk at some point a little while ago, and he's not in the chat room, so maybe we should give him a chance.
Absolutely.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I wanted to say, you know, first, and sorry if this is kind of a little out of sync with the conversation at the moment, but not too much. I think it is, you know, it should be within the remit of the group to look at how policy and implementation should be defined. I don't think it should define the success or failure of the group, but it should be open for discussion within the working group and not something that we try to solve as a drafting team.
Oh, no.
I do think that the reason that they're interesting to discuss really only relates to the consequences that something is defined as one or the other, and that really one could discuss primarily the consequences of those definitions without necessarily deciding what those definitions, whether they're bright lines or blurry lines, how they would interact. But nonetheless, I think it needs to be considered. What does it mean for something to be policy? What does it mean for something to be implementation? And to try to have, at least the opportunity to see if definitions can be arrived at or structures improve words. Of course, the more we charge the working group with finding processes that maybe where it doesn't matter so much whether something's policy or implementation, the less the definitions matter. But I think at least, up to the point of the discussions of this drafting team and maybe to some extent recent discussions in other fora, a lot has been made out of the difference between policy and implementation. And I don't think the working group should be shut off from discussing the definitional issues of policy and implementation. Thanks.
Well, thank you for that. That's very useful. Mike, your hand's up, and Jordan, your hand is still up if you would like to talk after Mike.
Yeah, this is Jordan. I'll wait for Mikey, but I do want to make a quick comment. So go ahead, Mikey.
No, go ahead, Jordan. You were first.
You made the first question. All right, I'll briefly say, just briefly in response to what Greg just said, I do think there's a high probability that if a working group gates other work on first defining policy and implementation, that there's a high probability that they will fail. If, on the other hand, as Greg was just putting it, it's something that we would like the working group to cope with, but it doesn't gate the work on other deliverables, and I think that's a fine way to express it. But I just think we need to be careful to not say, first of all, define what policy implementation is, and then once you've done that, do all this other stuff, because there's a good chance you'd never get past step one in that scenario, which would be a disastrous outcome for the working group. Second, my other general point is, I do think what Marika said earlier is great in that it sounds like we already have some places to latch onto in existing procedures. For example, like how's the implementation team supposed to work? There's a bunch of places where, and another example of this is the exercise that we're engaging in right now, which is we think we're doing something related to policy, but it's not a PDP. What exactly is that process supposed to look like? What's the start and end state supposed to be? Once we're done and have issued something that the GNSO adopts, is that documented somewhere? Can some future implementer come back and look at this, the work that we've done? Generally speaking, other than consensus policies, it's difficult to find work like this. So there's a whole universe of things that we can do, which is essentially creating more predictable, timely, efficient, repeatable processes around some of these characters other than the PDP, which I think will be really useful.
Well, I think that's spot on. Thank you very much. And I'm just noting Alan is very happy with, as am I, with Greg's point. I'm not sure I can answer Anne's question in the chat immediately. Mike, you're next.
Thanks, Holly. This is Mikey. My hand went up so long ago, I'm not sure that this is relevant, but I'm going to pound it into the chat. It's really ugly. The one thing that I wanted to throw into the hopper was a series of questions, and these could be in questions the work group can answer, or they could be in the mission, but it seems to me that at the end of the day, what we need to do is come up with a series of pretty good recommendations about how this flow from policy to implementation and back works. And so this is a very ugly summary of that slide deck that I posted. I have absolutely no editorial pride, and so if people would prefer to see this come out in the working group or something, that's fine, or it could go into a series of questions, but I think that the mission is to describe something, and what I tried to do was list a bunch of things that the group, the working group, not us, could describe. So I'll just put it in the chat, leave it there for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Mikey, and look, I think that probably your slides do raise the sorts of things that the working group, as opposed to the drafting team, will be looking at. We've got Chuck and then Cheryl. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Holly. I'll be real brief. Mikey, a question for you and what you just talked about. I agree with you that asking some key questions are important. Now, is what you're talking about, does that fit into item 4 under working group tasks where we said prepare working group responses to key questions?
Yeah, this is Mikey. Chuck, it certainly could. I was reading your draft and agreeing with you that we still needed a mission, and actually I think I hadn't seen Marika's draft, and so I'm pretty much fine with Marika's draft plus responding to whoever charted us, which I think is the chat's gone by. It's emerging that the GNSO charted us, not the board. And so these could easily drop down either into the key questions section of the charter or just drop out of the charter altogether. I was doing this mostly as a way to frame the mission, but I think we're getting pretty close with what we've already got.
I would agree with you, Mikey. Cheryl, you're next.
Thank you. In fact, I was 15 minutes ago when I ceded to Marika. What Marika said in terms of the need for a loop back and some checkpoints on what happens when a PDP makes some implementation recommendations, and then staff is tasked with making those implementations, and the importance indeed, and I'd like to underline that, the importance of the implementation review team, which is not just window dressing, it's a very important and I think something that the work group should be encouraged to focus on as a key area and a key opportunity to check back with the implementation review team is where I would like to see some more of the mission and scope padded out and developed. I was going to propose so long ago, I can barely remember where it is in the point of time, but I think it was about the 65 to 68 minute mark in the call where Marika's text or words were, I thought, just perfect for a little bit of a preamble that we could put to the potential work group for what they should be looking at, and then we could derive some specific mission and scope out of that on the need for not just tossing these things out to staff and this thing called implementation review teams happens and it's all well and wonderful. Clearly, that is not necessarily going to be the case. We need some pro forma and expectation and accountability and transparency and all of those good things involved around that, as well as some specific feedback or gatekeeping points, whereby if a process goes down the line in a staff implementation review team dialogue to a point they can say, whoops, it's time we went back and looped to bringing it back to the council, bringing it back to the GNSO, bringing it back to the community at the wider ICANN interest. I think that needs to somehow get in to the mission and scope of what we want the working group to look at, along with those basic bits and pieces of definitions, etc. Thank you.
Thank you. Marika's got her hand up, as does Ellen. Now, Marika first and then Ellen.
This is Marika. I think Alan had his hand up longer, so I'm happy for Alan to go first.
I'm always happy for staff to go first, though.
Right, let's try to...
I'm happy to go first, then, in that case, Alan. No, just one thing that came to my mind is in hearing your different comments, is it something that we may want to add somewhere, maybe as a note, or maybe something to just take back in the discussions when the working group is formed, is that I think it's important as well to make sure that the working group considers agility of the process, because not every policy PDP or set of policy recommendations is the same. So I think we really need to be careful as well that we don't get stuck with a very rigid system that needs in which we need to jump through different hoops and circles and review rounds, where in certain cases we may have a very straight, you know, where a working group comes up and say, this provision needs to be added to this specific policy, and, you know, there's no need for an implementation review team or a public comment period or anything like that. So I think we really need to make sure as well that somewhere we record here that the working group needs to take into account that there needs to be agility and flexibility to make sure that in those cases where we don't need any rigidity, things can move fast and go quickly and don't necessarily need to be pulled up in circles that we don't necessarily need to go through.
Thank you, Marika. Ellen?
Thank you. I'm so glad I let Marika go first, because I don't have to say what I was going to say. I'll just give the examples. PDPs and policies come in different shapes, sizes, and magnitudes. I was part of an implementation group. There were about five people on it, implementation review group. We had a hard time getting two people to actually read the emails and respond. The implementation review groups for some of the IRTP policies that the PDPs we're working on right now are probably going to be similar in size. The implementation review group for the new GTLD policy was all of ICANN. Pretty much every attendee who came to a meeting, and a lot of people who didn't come to meetings, and large parts of the community who don't go to ICANN meetings at all. So, yes, we don't want to be rigid about this. We've got to, you know, adjust the process based on what kind of policy we're talking about, and they do range widely. Thank you.
Okay, well, we're coming to the end of our hour and a half. I think some of the things we can take away, I think we're all working off of the outline that Chuck and Jordan prepared in terms of tasks we have to do, which is mission, scope, then the objectives, and then we have to talk about the deliverables. Now, we haven't come up with a set of words for mission and scope, but we've come up with a lot of thoughts, and they're very useful in terms of some themes, such as what's as important as definitions is the sort of process that's around it, that the need for flexibility of that process, but the need for that process to support as necessary the multi-stakeholder model. And I would go back to Mikey's original mind map that has some nice little loops in it that actually describe that pretty well. We can reduce some of that to paper, but Mikey's going to do that for us over the next day or so. And the next task we've got, I think what I would hope over the next week is that we can come up with a form of words that we're all pretty happy with, or at least come closer to statements about mission and scope. We've got the objectives and goals. I think we really need to make some really good headway on that. Next week's really only have a couple of weeks. I think the deliverables, if people will just have a look at the deliverables and see if they match up, that would be our final session. So do we have... Now, Marika, I think you're going to be doing some work, but Mikey, are you going to be doing your... Oh, you're going to wait for Marika's draft. Okay. In the next couple of days, Marika and Mikey, if we can come up with your summaries of where we got up to, and I'll have a look as well, then the task for the next meeting, which is probably also going to have to be an hour and a half if we're going to meet this July 3rd deadline, the next task is going to be to get onto and make really good headway on the objectives. I think deliverables will just fall through. But are there any final comments before we call it a day?
Or Holly,
Marika's hand is up.
Marika.
Holly, this is Marika. If I can make a suggestion, and I think Mikey agreed with at least from his perspective, that proposal is that I, on the right-hand side, you already see, I took some notes based on our discussion today with regard to an introduction to the mission and scope. I think there are no strong objections to some of the language that Chuck and Jordan have suggested, so my proposal will be that I integrate that into the draft charter as initially developed by staff, put that out to the mailing list so that people can actually start looking at that and suggesting additional language changes added, and that may make it easier, and hopefully then people can use as well maybe the red line function so we can actually see where changes are being suggested. So that may help us prepare for the next meeting, and then, you know, Mikey can take that one and tear it apart if you like.
That would be really useful, and Mikey's going to wait until you do your work and then he's going to do his work. I think that's where we're up to for the next meeting. Is there any other comments? Whoops. Chuck. All right. That is a note from Ann to Chuck. Okay, look, thank you, everybody, for your time. I think, Marika, your first cab off the rank in terms of putting what's on the right-hand side, the notes you've taken, into Chuck's outline, and then Mikey's going to come up with something. Oops. Mikey's going to add assumptions. Okay. I would hope that the list will be as active as it has been so that the next meeting we can make some real progress in terms of signing off on a mission and we can start to work on some of the objectives. But in the meantime, I would see everybody on the list and thank you for your time.
Way to go, Holly. Thanks, Holly.
And Alan,
thanks,
Alan.
Thanks, all.
Thank
Bye.
You.